If the practice of archaeology were truly like the way it is portrayed in the Indiana Jones movies, people might indeed be lining up to get into the field. But day by day, archaeology is just a little less exciting than that. Many fewer rolling boulders and snakes. Our guests this segment find plenty of excitement in archaeology just the same, and enthusiasm they share with national audiences. They are among the hosts of a show that is produced by Oregon Public Broadcasting but airing nationally on PBS. The show is called Time Team America. It includes Chelsea Rose, an archaeologist from Southern Oregon University, here in the studio with me. Welcome back, Chelsea.
Hi, great to be here.
Dr. Meg Waters is with us on the phone. Welcome, Dr. Meg.
Hello.
And Dr. Alan Maka is with us as well.
Hello.
Good to have you here. So this is a national show, but OPB put this together. So, Chelsea, why don't you start and tell us how this got started from your perspective?
Well, this is a show that has been airing, aired in England for 20 years called Time Team. So they brought it over to the U.S., and Oregon Public Broadcasting picked it up, and we filmed the first ones in 2008, right, Meg?
Yes, 2008.
And then the second season was funded by a National Science Foundation grant, of which Meg is one of the principal writers on that grant.
So you took a longer break than Team of Thrones between first and second season.
Yeah, we did.
Right. So Meg Waters, what's the basic premise here?
The premise of Time Team America is to include the public in the process of archaeology. So to bring people along via the camera and via our website as well, in through our decision-making process, in meeting the site archaeologists, forming questions, and how we go about collecting evidence to help us answer those questions.
It sounds like reality TV for public broadcasting.
Well, it is, really, because nothing's planned, right? So the cameras follow us, and they're seeing, the public will be seeing what we uncover and discover as we do it, or what we might not uncover that we wish we would have.
Dr. Alan Maka, is this something like The Amazing Race? Is there time and objective pressure here or something?
It is a little. The catch is that we have about 72 hours, you know, three and a half film days to actually get some answers, to help out regional and local archaeologists and to really put to use the great technology that Meg Waters and her team brings to bear.
So Chelsea Rose, tell us about the scenarios that you're given. I mean, what are the assignments that are put in front of you, and what are you told to do?
Well, we usually go on a site that's already under investigation by local archaeologists or researchers, and so we go to help them solve a question. Like, we can't do all the archaeology on the site in 3 days, so we try to help them give a big push towards something that they're really interested in. So part of this thing we look at when we choose sites is both how can we help some of the research going on in America, and also we like to pick interesting stories that we think have a lot to say about, American history and our shared past. So, we can't solve everything, but we do go in and really try to help people and tell a great story.
So, Meg Waters, give us an example of one of the places that you guys have gone. It's not just about hanging out in our corner of the world.
No, where we've gone with Time Team. We were in Bethesda, Maryland, which was great. It was a suburban neighborhood looking for the evidence of Josiah Henson, who was a slave and ultimately the inspiration for Uncle Tom, the character of Uncle Tom. We're also in Oklahoma looking at 10,000-year-old bison kill site where there were a bunch of bones of ancient bison, as well as in Colorado looking at a Pueblo village. And down in Georgia, looking at a Civil War prison site.
What did you find at the Civil War prison site?
Oh, wow. Well, you know, each site we found pretty amazing things. And at the Civil War site, we had a lot of goals. It was about 250 acres to cover in, as Alan was saying, 72 hours. So it was a bit crazy. But we found the stockade walls. The enclosure of the prison itself, which was known to have been there, of course, but had been lost kind of over time. So for me, that was a really significant find, because with the work I do, which is mostly focused on remote sensing, so trying to map the earth without digging first to clue in the archaeologists as to where they might find very specific features that would help answer the questions that we've posed. So I'm more of a landscape view, so this wall was just amazing.
You specialize in things like ground-penetrating radar, is that right?
I do. Ground-penetrating radar, electrical resistivity, magnetometry, airborne laser scanning, all sorts of different methods for mapping the Earth non-invasively.
So when you say you found a stockade wall, was the actual wall there, or was it just that you had seen where the soil was compressed in such a way that there would have been a wall there at one time?
Right. Well, you know, that's a really interesting question, because when I look at the ground as a geophysicist, those are the questions I ask myself. What's going to be in the ground? How was this wall constructed, and what were its materials? So we were able to look at Andersonville, which is relatively close by, another Civil War prison. We were able to look at the construction of their stockade wall. And based on that, you know, in my head, in setting up the equipment that we used, the different techniques that we used, and how we collected data, I said, I'm looking for a foundation trench. So, you know, a trench excavated into the ground that would then have had upstanding posts, which would be the stockade wall, post after post after post, and then it would have been filled in. So, you know, kind of worst-case scenario, I was looking for just a bit of a trench. Best-case scenario, we would have preserved upstanding posts in that trench, which, in fact, is what we discovered, which was pretty fantastic.
Dr. Alan Maka, what's the specialty you bring to the operation at Time Team America?
Well, I'm a field archaeologist and a professor, and I've worked in Central America for a long time. So I'm basically an experienced field director and digger and excavator and director of field excavations.
And Chelsea Rose, you had we talked to you before about projects in Southern Oregon, and one of the ways in which archaeology in the real world seems to differ from archaeology in the movies is that you don't tend to find big chunks of things anymore, do you?
No. A lot of times it's not what you find, it's what you find out is kind of what we say. But so things can be pretty nuanced, which is the challenge, of course, of making it appeal to a TV audience. Because sometimes you have to be like, no, trust me, this is really cool. But, you know, it is really cool. Even something as humble as a little piece of glass or a brick or the ghost of a post from a wall. When you think about what a prison camp was during the Civil War, that wall is one of the most symbolic components of that. Some people were on one side, some people were on the other. So being able to find those posts, while they weren't very exciting in and of themselves, what they represented was huge.
A real chunk of the past, mm-hmm. a real tangible chunk of the past.
Yeah. And
it's also a really amazing visceral experience because, I mean, just to find the post was one thing, but then we could actually smell the pine. I mean, if you can imagine, these have been in the ground for such a long time, and then actually dig them out and smell the pine, it's like takes you back there.
After 150 years, wow, that's amazing.
Yeah, and I also wanted to jump in with what Chelsea was saying. The Bones of Badger Hole program that we filmed in Oklahoma, which was the 10,000-year-old bison kill site, what I really loved about that is, you know, what we were helping excavate, the local archaeologists excavate, was an old bison bone bed. So basically the remains of what would have been killed and butchered by the people gathering 10,000 years ago. But the amazing information that we're able to pull out of that very, very tiny bit of material out of the teeth and out of the bones is just pretty amazing. If you watch the program, you'll see through a number of different scientific tests and methodologies, and of course the extensive knowledge of the local archaeologists that we were working with, they can tell such a story of the bison and where they moved and how they moved in that time period, 10,000 years ago.
We were talking to some of the hosts of Time Team America on PBS, produced by Oregon Public Broadcasting. Chelsea Rose in the studio with me is a Southern Oregon University archaeologist. We have on the phone Dr. Meg Waters and Dr. Alan Maka. You can join us on the exchange at 800-838-3760 anywhere in the listening area. In the Rogue Valley, 541-552-6782, by email jx@jeffnet.org. You turned a light on there, Dr. Meg Waters, because we recently talked to the manager of the fossil collection at the University of Oregon Museum of Cultural and Natural History, and he mentioned the fact that teeth are a big part of the whole process because they last so long.
Absolutely, and they have so much information in them, in the material of the teeth. You know, where the bison had been eating, and the information that we can glean from that is just amazing. There's a scene in the program, and also, actually, I don't know if it's on the website or not. Chelsea might know better, where our host at the site just use a Sharpie marker. You know, I use all this high-tech visualization tools, you know, all the numbers and electronics. And he has this Sharpie and a map of the U.S., and he so elegantly just said, and they started here, and this is how they move and how we know and, you know, what the evidence tells us. In very concisely and clearly.
And one of the things to remember, too, is we're anthropologists. So what we're really getting at is the people. So how the bison are behaving and that, you know, lifespan and life, you know, where they're going over time is what we're trying to get at is what the people are doing, how they're following them, how they're timing their presence at this one place to find out where the bison are going to be at a certain time of year where they can you know, harvest them, I guess, or kill them.
Yeah.
And, you know, to be able to take something like a tooth that's been in the ground for 10,000 years and come up with a story of people, you know, and what they were doing and how they were making their choices and what was influencing those choices. That's, you know, that's really the take home message from that one, too, which is pretty incredible.
When you first were approached by the folks who produce Time Team America, what did you even know about the British version of the show?
I did not, but I did have a British professor when I was in grad school, and I went to him and said, "What is this?" And he was like, "Oh, you should do it. It's a great show." And I worked in Scotland for 5 years, and when I was over there, I really got to see the impact that it had on you know, the understanding of archaeology. The dialogue over there is at such a different level than it is over here. People know about archaeology. They, you know, if you say you're doing archaeology, a little old lady in a coffee shop will be like, "Are you doing magnetometry?" You know, so they understand it in a new way. And to me, that was really exciting to be able to bring that to the U.S.
Dr. Meg Waters, do you not get that question in coffee shops very often?
No, usually I get, "What? You're doing what with magnets?" Yeah, I did my PhD in England, and I know a lot of the Time Team people, including the fellow who kind of dreams it up in the beginning. And I did a TV show with him over in England, and when he was talking about bringing it to the U.S., I was finishing my PhD and coming back, and I couldn't have been a more enthusiastic supporter of bringing it to America because of what Chelsea said, because of how the public was so aware of what was going on, not only the methods that we use. But, you know, if they were digging in their backyard and they dug something up, you know, what do you do? Do you, you know, sell it on eBay or do you contact your local archaeology group and contribute to kind of the broader picture of what's going on?
Now, there is, I think Chelsea mentioned already, there's an outreach component, interactivity for students and others. How does that work?
There is a lot of videos. There was field schools conducted with each of our programs that we filmed, and there's a lot of videos on the website and different educational resources that we link to on the website and a lot of outreach because, again, our part of our driving mission behind this is really to educate people about archaeology and to inspire children to go into the sciences. So
I think it's important to state that this program, the second series, was funded entirely by an NSF, so the National Science Foundation, informal education grant. So that is looking at and promoting and engaging underserved youth in science, technology, engineering, and mathematics, which was perfect for archaeology because that's what we do. You know, but it appears as a more kind of humanities type of thing, but we have the underlying methods and technology and science behind what we're doing.
Can I presume then that you finished that first season of Time Team America and didn't know if there would be a second?
Yes.
All right. So when did you find out there was going to be a second season, Chelsea?
Like 4 years later.
When the money's coming in.
Yeah.
Right. Dr. Alamaka, since we were talking about the differences, the fact that people in England and Scotland appear to know a bit more about archaeology than perhaps Americans do, with your work in Central and South America, is there a similar situation there or some ignorance about what processes go on?
I think actually down there, the native history especially, but also the colonial history, is such a fundamental part of national culture. And I think it's that way a lot in many parts of Europe, certainly in England. In the U.S., I think it's probably a little less so, not least because we're such a huge country geographically. But I think one of the great things about this show, I mean, not only that we're able to do public outreach with local students and things like this, it's that we were able to explore and convey to the American public just the incredibly diverse and rich depth of American history. I mean, there's areas of American history that I came to know through this show that I really wasn't aware of myself.
And what would you say you're most proud of about what's gone on with Time Team America, Dr. Alamaka?
I would say one, obviously, is just working with local students and teaching them some of the STEM, the math, the engineering, the technical skills that come out of archaeology and that can be applied in all their lives and that they can develop. And the other is, again, just building out and conveying for the American public just the amazing history of the United States that just lies out there, and also the importance of helping local and regional archaeologists and using the show in that way to support local and regional science.
With 72 hours on each of these sites, Dr. Meg Waters, does that make for a fairly long shooting day?
Yes. Well, you know, the shooting day only lasts so long, and because the film crew has pretty regulated hours before they go into overtime and overtime pay. As kind of the lead of the remote sensing group, I have two fellows working with me, Brian Haley and Duncan McKinnon, who are fantastic. And we collect data. So we collect data from basically sunup to sundown, and then we go back and we process it all, and then we integrate it all, and we interpret it all. So the next morning, we can present our results and potential excavation areas to the archaeology team. So, you know, kind of the second half of our day begins after dinner when we're starting to look at data. So it makes for pretty, get very limited sleep, but it's so exciting, and the results have been just amazing with some of the geophysical surveys we did with the program. So that kind of keeps us going.
And Chelsea Rose, is there a pretty good blooper collection as well?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and I mean, it's such a great group that's involved, and we've been so lucky to be welcomed onto so many great sites which have their own great people that, you know, even though it's really stressful, and in some cases you're put in these really high-stress situations with a high-definition camera 2 inches from your face, and the fact that everybody really enjoys themselves and is so supportive of each other and really shares this mission, that's what makes it really a great thing to be a part of.
Has the second season been shot already?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
And so airs when?
Tonight in Oregon on Oregon Public Broadcasting. You can tune in and see it at 10 p.m.
All right. For the folks who are watching on Southern Oregon Public Television and for the folks in the Redding area, too, that'll be slightly different. Check your local listings. Chelsea Rose, Dr. Meg Waters, Dr. Alan Maka, thank you all for joining us to talk about Time Team America.
Thank you.
All right. Thanks. Take care.